Acknowledgements. This is where I'd like to say a special thank you to those who were involved in making my dream become a reality. I'd like to thank Dan Adrian, my editor, and most importantly, my friend, for your patience and knowledge to make this happen. Thank you to his wife, my best friend of 33 years, who supported me for this and for everything I've been through in my life. Thanks to Cindy Golding and her team of excellent narrators who made the book come to life in the Audible book. To my mom, I love you and appreciate everything that you do for me. To my beautiful children, who are my inspiration, thank you for being the best children a mother could ask for. To my friends and family, thank you for all your support and feedback. Chapter 1. Why is it that in almost every movie or book you read, it's raining at a funeral? Is it because rain makes you feel sad? The drops remind you of tears? The death hurts every bone in your body, just like a rainy day? Maybe that's how it is in the Hollywood films. Or maybe even some in real life. That's how it was when my daddy died. It rained hard that day, poured down on us like a bucket dumped from heaven. That rain hurt. It hurt like hundreds of bee stings all over my entire body. But this time, it's different. The only people here for this one are me and Bella. Oh, and the priest who's giving the sermon. And one other guy who I think Jeffrey worked with. His own mama didn't even show, because she knew the kind of man Jeffrey was. Brayden didn't even come. He hated Jeff from the start. After him and Bella's dad left, Bray just wasn't the same. Bella was too little to remember, but she always wanted a father. Jeffrey Clark fooled us all. He was a true narcissist in every sense of the word, but I never in my wildest dreams imagined he would die in a car crash. Okay, maybe in a few of my wildest dreams, but I never thought it would actually happen. And yet, there he is. Entombed in a hard plastic case, sleeping 6 feet under. It was extremely easy not to shed one tear. Why? Because I knew he couldn't hurt us anymore. And ironically, it was a beautiful sunny day with not a cloud in the sky. I couldn't help but smile, but only on the inside. It just felt wrong to make such a display, so I kept it to myself. When it was over, which didn't take long, I grabbed Bella's hand and started heading toward the car. "It's such a nice day, isn't it?" I asked Bella, after several awkward minutes of silence.
"It sure is, in more ways than one,"
she answered in her sweet, sarcastic tone. "Now come on, that's not nice," I replied, then finished with a smirk, saying, "True, but not nice." Which made both Bella and I giggle a little. She certainly is smart for a 9-year-old. We listened to some of our favorite songs as we drove home, which was settled in Boulder, Colorado. We couldn't do that if Jeff was in the car, but I promise I'm not going to complain about him this entire time. It's just nice to be able to do things without walking on eggshells every second of every day. And for the first time in a long time, I felt a sense of calm. A soft smile adorned my face as I listened to sweet little Bella's voice trying to sing all the words to the songs on the radio. Just a few minutes pass, and we pull into our driveway alongside our little home in the middle of nowhere. I went into Brayden's room where he pretty much lives now. I tapped him on the shoulder since calling his name wouldn't do any good. He turned around and took off his headphones and asked,
"How was it?"
"It was," I started, then paused for a moment. I wasn't sure how to answer. If I said it was wonderful, I would sound like a crazy person. If I said it was sad, I would be lying through my teeth. "It was how I expected," I finally replied. Brayden looked at me with a face of irritation, then said,
"Well, I'm glad he's gone.